Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by akashicreading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. I'm your host, Terry Uptana, and today we'll be looking at how the terms can, should, and best and highest good may have unintended consequences if we don't examine their full meanings, or we aren't aware of why we're actually using them. One of the most difficult parts of a spiritual practice is getting good answers from questions. Setting aside those religions and spiritualities which tell us not to ask questions and instead accept everything, or to set aside our questions in order to believe what we're taught and have faith rather than understanding, most advice on how to ask spiritual questions comes in two flavors. One, keep in mind the beings you're asking can read thoughts, know your intentions, and are more wise and knowledgeable than you, and so you should just ask the best you can and trust the answer. Or two, keep things simple, because if you're too specific, you could limit the answer in some way. While I understand the reasons why these pieces of advice are out there, what they're trying to do, and the problems they're attempting to solve, they really aren't very practical. For instance, we wouldn't take the approach when consulting a doctor about pending heart surgery. We don't do it around food if we have food allergies. And I've never heard anyone have this type of conversation when hiring a divorce attorney. Some things, like the most impactful matters of our heart and/or our soul plan for this incarnation, are best delved into with some, if not all, the detail. To make the process of asking questions more efficacious or to get more clearer and actionable answers, it helps to recognize linguistic traps or blocks which are embedded in the words and phrases of the questions, the most common of which are can, should, and best and highest good. So let's start with can, or basically can versus will. Have you ever experienced a conversation where you ask someone if they can do something and they say yes and then nothing happens? So you ask them why they didn't do the thing and they remind you your question was about their ability to do the thing, not a request for them to actually do it. Yes, they can, but you didn't ask if they would or if they will. To which there are many appropriate responses, but I usually opt for However, this can versus will issue is incredibly important when we're asking for spiritual guidance and advice about something. For example, if we ask whether or not starting a business can provide us with the quality of life we want to have or the funds we need, the answer is often yes. This is because the question is about the capabilities of the business outside any specific context. The answer will be very different if we think to ask, will starting a business provide me this quality of life I want to have or the funds I need in the way I need them and the necessary time frame? And if we begin working to manifest our project into being, we're going to get as much support as is possible from our guides in the universe. Yet the project may fail or be only marginally successful due to all the other factors we haven't asked about, such as the global economy, supply chain issues, competition in our area, oversaturation of the market, and so on. This isn't a setup to failure on the part of our guides or the universe. While it can seem as if we're Charlie Brown while the universe is being Lucy with the football, this is actually us falling into the can versus will issue. When we ask can questions, we are often assuming everything else we want. All the context inside us, all the unspoken but implied bits are included when they aren't. For example, if we're trying to manifest a partner and we ask if this partner can be the partner we want and need, we're assuming this means they'll be able to partner us fully, be a good fit for us sexually, won't have baggage of their own, and will want to build the same type of life we want to build. But this isn't necessarily the case. If your guides say this person can be your partner in the way you want, they are telling the truth. However, your question doesn't factor in if this person is willing to do so, when they might work to achieve any or all of these qualities, nor does it ask about things which might interfere in the moment, such as their unprocessed trauma or childhood issues. Asking if they will be a good partner to us now, in this relationship we are attempting to create, with all they are as a person in this moment, will get you a much more in-depth answer. So then there's B, which is should. Questions, which include the word should, are often trying to find the best answer or solution when we don't want to fail, do less than our best, choose the wrong thing, waste our time, or even worse, make things worse. The thing to know about shoulds is they come from outside of us. They're the messages from others about what is considered right or best or normative, and we've been told adjusting ourselves to these norms will have positive effects for us. They're like mass-manufactured clothing, which is advertised as being intrinsically fabulous and therefore able to make us look fabulous if we purchase and wear it. Reality meets the road when we try each piece on. It can be confusing to find we don't look fabulous in a certain piece of clothing and cause us to try and search out what is wrong or even what we've done wrong to cause a non-fabulous outcome. It's only when we realize we've misunderstood the purpose of the clothing that things begin to fall into place. The clothing may or may not be fabulous, but its purpose is to be purchased, not to improve us. The advertising is enticement, not sound advice. Our looks are secondary and only as important as they cause us to return for more purchases. Shoulds are presented as being for our best and highest good, which improves the likelihood we'll accept and incorporate them into the tapestry of our lives. They're presented as a means to improve our lives, to make things better, as goals to strive for, and as a means to give us a happy life. They come across as constructive criticism, which helps to support us in correcting errors, avoiding negative tendencies, and moving in a positive direction. However, most shoulds, if looked at closely, aren't geared to make us better. They've come into being because of the needs of others. They come from cultural sources, which create an ideal body image, from family and friends making comments, others joyfully talking about what works for them and can work for you, all messaging what they want, what they need, what they think, and how they feel, all asking you to engage to affirm their opinion and meet their needs. This can set us up to participate in self-sabotage because we push our own intuition, our own knowing, and even our truth aside in order to value and problem-solve the expectations, needs, and shoulds of others. We give up our own work and passion to save the failing business of someone important in our lives because we want to help and be a part of the solution. We ignore basic truths such as the business is failing because it's no longer viable or that its ending is the best outcome for everyone involved. Or our becoming involved makes us responsible for situations and choices the other person refuses to deal with. So we've become the dumping ground for all the negatives of the situation. We then create stories, phrases, factoids, and PR statements for ourselves and others, fashioned to narrow focus on these solutions. We tell ourselves we've tried everything, and this is the only solution left. We aren't this or can't that, so the only way to get a thing done is the hard way, which never works out. It's always been this way, so I'll either have to give up or try something which will make me miserable and won't work anyway, and so on and so on. However, beings in the Akashics often resist participating in should conversations, as our free will is inviolate. They won't make choices for us, nor give leading advice when a choice needs to be made. Which means a should question will either get silence as an answer, or something so generic and non-actionable it's fairly useless as anything other than a positive affirmation. It's better to ask for advice on the options you're already aware of, with the addition of requesting they give information about or point you towards options you haven't discovered or considered yet. This way, they can give you all the information you're asking for in order to make an informed choice. And then there's C, best and highest good. Even when we have the best of intentions, do everything right, and work to make sure it's the best outcome, we can end up in exactly the worst situation with the short end of the stick. This isn't because we did something wrong, but, well, have you ever tasted something which was meant to be baked with baking powder, but instead they put in baking soda? It's a common mistake even skilled bakers make from time to time. However, the results are god-awful, even if every other ingredient was correct and every procedure followed to the letter. Knowing your ingredients and what is called for in a situation can make all the difference. Often, we put things which are good or right to do ahead of what would be best and end up with a salty, inedible mess. Best and highest good is something every cake needs, but too often it becomes diluted. For example, in manifesting a partner, we would get the best results by asking for what is in our best and highest good. Unfortunately, people often add in what is best and good for the world, for their higher purpose, for the other person, for their and their partner's soul, and so on and so on. It's like adding sugar to the bowl, then instead of adding just one cup of flour, you go on adding another, and another, and another, and another. The sugar is absolutely in there, but it's swamped by all the flour. Flour, when mixed with wet ingredients, creates structure. Too much, and it's a chewy, dry mess. Not adding any extra liquid means it will crumble into sand. In either case, the sweetness of things won't come through all that mess of best and highest good. Along with this, when you add best and highest good to your question, make sure what you're asking is not too general or too specific for a response. One of the biggest frustrations I hear from guides is the person asks for something so generic they don't have any way to answer it, such as, "What do I need to know for my best and highest good?" For most people, any answer to this question would contain world peace as well as a healthy salad and everything in between. Your guides don't have the right to select one thing from all those possibilities, as doing so has a great possibility of interfering with your free will, so they remain silent. Like with should, the key to using the phrase is in how you approach the being you're working with. While they have expertise, knowledge, and access which you don't, they are not an authority over you any more than your chiropractor, acupuncturist, or Reiki master. Offering them carte blanche to do whatever they think is best, to do what is for your best and highest good, or just do something to fix whatever problem is most pressing, will not get the response you're looking for. Most often, they either won't respond or will become like the frustrating fortune cookie as they seek to try and help while at the same time being limited by your lack of interaction. Some things to keep in mind when adding in best and highest good. Our being here and being the best self we can be is good for the world, our higher purpose, best for the other person, and our soul. So all these extras we think we need to add are already included when we do things and manifest things for our own best and highest good. Our primary responsibility in an embodied life is to care for the piece of divinity which is our own soul. Nobody else can do it for us. No relationship can take this responsibility off our hands, and no one else will ever, ever be as good at it as we are. So while the reason we're asking the questions in the first place is often we have explored other options, can't figure things out, and feel stuck, confused, and frustrated, asking questions which ask for others to decide on the answer for us or craft a solution rarely gets us what we need. Approaching things from a collegial, interactive, and/or interconnective perspective, more conversational rather than request for help from the customer service department, will get you clearer, practical, actionable answers which support you on your path. And that's all the time we have this week. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashicreading.com. Thank you to my patron of honor this week, Lourdes. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting it by subscribing on Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can join in patron-only classes, get information on my current workshops, see all my other offerings, and get regular updates about what I'm working on at patreon.com/terryubtana. Thanks!